Radio City Talk.
The Legends with 1-888-BET. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Please gamble responsibly.
Liverpool have done it!
Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Just gone 6:30. Very good evening to you. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk. I'm Mick Coyle in for Steve Hollishall. And tonight, the eyes and ears of the footballing world are on Merseyside. Ronald Koeman has been sacked by Everton. Where do the Blues go next? Where did it all go wrong, and where does this leave Everton's season? Sharpie and Aldo are here to take your calls. 0151 472 0967. It's not just about the Blues, though, honestly. Liverpool thumped by Spurs and Dejan Lovren getting hooked by his manager after just 30 minutes. Is Klopp finally learning lessons about Liverpool's defensive frailties? What options does he have to change things up? Or is it more complicated than that? Get on board. 0151 472 0967. And you can use the hashtag Radio City Legends. Fair to say it's going to be a pretty busy night. Mr. Graham Sharp,
terrible
hello.
Result for Liverpool. I mean.
What a bad day for Merseyside football.
Yeah. So Sunday was no good. Monday's not been a great day for Mr. Ronald Koeman. Sharpie, he's gone.
Yeah, listen. People have opinions of wanting him gone, kind of thing. Listen, he walks away. His first season was seventh. This season hasn't started well at all. The money they spent in the summer. And listen, you can say because of this, because of that. But honestly, watching it this year, with all the signings and everything else, I think that the one thing that stood out was we didn't know how we were playing. We didn't know what system we were playing, how to adapt to it. We lost our main goal scorer. So he was up against it. But, you know, he made the recruits in the summer. It didn't really work out for him. Some will say 8 games into the season is probably too short a time. But the worrying thing for me was the fact that the way that we were playing or weren't playing, it was poor. And again, it culminated in a heavy defeat on Sunday against Arsenal, take the lead 1-0. But if it wasn't for Jordan Pickford, it would have been double figures, you know. So something wasn't right. It just wasn't clicking. It wasn't gelling. My worry is, who they bring in now? You know, all these names are getting bandied around. Dave, the producer, was asking me for a name. I honestly don't know. You know, Sean Dyche.
Well, why is his name coming up?
He's coming up. I think people see them as what Moyes used to be. You know, when he was a manager lower down, and he's came up and he's doing quite well in the Premiership now. I honestly don't know. You know, all the names and the betting, David Moyes, I'm not sure if that will happen. I just don't know, Mick. I just honestly don't know. And I just look at it and I think they've made that decision today. We've got Chelsea coming up on Wednesday and then Leicester. I thought, if anything, they would have given them these 2 games and in the meantime try and sort something out to bring somebody in. And if it didn't work for them, you then go. But doing it now, maybe they have been in touch with somebody, and maybe
it's normally the case that initial,
it's quick, John, after the game, give it a day coming in. And if we're led to believe that's what happened, that Koeman came in at 8 to ready to prepare the players and train the players, and then the chairman and chief exec came in lunchtime and the deed was done. So you would like to think that they've got somebody tied up. And you asked me before, how could they do that? But listen, everybody knows what goes on in football. Yeah. But who the man might be, I honestly haven't got a clue.
Who's made the call? Who's made the final call on the decision today? Because there was three names that were mentioned in the club statement: board of directors, Bill Kenwright, and majority shareholder Farhad Moshiri. He was there at the weekend.
I think it would have been a board decision. Yeah. And I think they would all sat round and they would have had their tuppence worth and said, right, okay, where do we come from here? Listen, I think the things that have been said against the manager, you know, he didn't get the club, he didn't seem to, he didn't talk about the club in the first person, blah, 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 all this. He was angling for another job somewhere else. Listen, That doesn't mask anything. The simple fact was, the performances this season have been awful, and that's been from day one in the Europa League qualification all the way through, and there hasn't been any sign. And I know people say about signing players and everything else, but the performances have been poor.
There's no balance to the team.
No.
You know, you talk about pace. You know, we watched them against Arsenal, watched them. There's no real balance there. Like, you watched the game yesterday. I have to say, the players, they put a graft in. They were trying to play. You come and put your finger at the players. They tried for the club and the fans, but they were all over the place. You know, they left themselves wide open in many situations against Arsenal. You can't do that, you know. And the book finishes with the manager. You know, he made all the signings. You know, and it seemed to look good from an Everton point of view. But we've said it now for the last 3 months. Everton didn't get the forward was more important than any other position to get when Lukaku went. You had to get a forward. And as Smith's management, he just didn't get a forward.
But if you thought the defence were working really well and the midfield were really grafted and it was just that final line, then you could highlight that. But Sharpie, it's not just that final third, is it?
Well, Edison, it is. Listen, you win games by scoring goals. Simple fact, you win games by scoring goals. Yeah, of course, you've got to be solid at the back as well. But you look at Everton, I think they're minus 11 or something, or minus 12. Somebody can correct me about that. The whole thing wasn't working. So the back four, he went out and played a back three again at the weekend. He's changed it again, yet again. You know, and if you're playing a back three, for me, we've said it time and time again, the three there at the back have got to be comfortable in the ball, be able to come out and play and take chances and take risks. You've got your two wide players, Jonjo Kenny and Leighton Baines, for me, should be wing-backs. You know, they weren't. Jonjo Kenny never got forward. He got forward once, I think, once or twice. Bainesy once or twice, but the system, it was basically at home playing five at the back. So you may be thinking, right, okay, he wants to shut up shop here, but he didn't shut up shop. They were still, Arsenal were just passing through us. You know, it was like you could drive a bus through the middle.
All over
so
the
it
place,
wasn't as if he was saying, right, we'll play five at the back and we'll have four in front and they'll be condensed and make it difficult for Arsenal. They never made it difficult for Arsenal. John was right, they had a goal, don't get me wrong, but it was too easy. The number of saves Pickford made.
Oh, superb, wasn't he? And the young lad up front, I thought he'd done really well under the he was isolated.
Yeah.
He worked hard. He held the ball up when he couldn't, and people weren't getting in amongst him quick enough, you know, because the lack of pace as well.
Listen, John, even you now, you'd have thought, I'm up against Per Mertesacker here.
Come on,
do me a favour. You know, let's expose him. Never, because we never got the ball. We hadn't enough. Could talk about defensively, in the final third, we didn't have enough creativity as well.
Liverpool could sign up Ronald Koeman. He could play centre back for you lot, couldn't he? Right, so we'll go. By the way, Reds, get on board with this one as well.
Me and Shabby got deflector shields going everywhere here, by the way.
That Lovren performance, we've got to talk about that. That Liverpool performance too. 01514720967. Bobby's a blue. Bobby's an item tonight, Sharpie.
All right, lads.
Hello, Bob.
I think I was watching the TV last night, I was flicking through it after the game, and it come back to, like, I don't know whether you watched it. Gary Neville sitting on a couch looking at his best games with Philip Neville at Everton. Blood, guts and thunder. That's what it was about.
Yeah.
I think it showed three Everton games under Moyes' reign. I'm not the greatest Moyes fan. I haven't seen now for 3 years blood, guts and thunder at Goodison Park. And what I would say to you is that yesterday, I would not exaggerate, would we be looking at 15 or 20 times that now's happened, them type of results. Stamford Bridge, Old Trafford, Anfield, yesterday. You can just go on with a list. And there's a lack of passion. There's a lack of organisation. And this is going back 3 years. This is not just this year. This has gone back to the back end of Martinez's first year when we started taking kickings. And it's just gone. There's no organisation. No one knows where they're playing. You've got left-wingers playing on the right. You've got left-backs playing at right-back. You've got... And I have to say, I'm one of the few callers or even pundits or whatever, they'll say, I actually don't think there is any quality there. I really don't. I'm struggling to see this quality thing that pundits talk about. Because I ain't seen it. I'm not seeing it. I'm not. I think the what qualities there is evaporated by sell-by dates in the likes of Jags, Baines, you know, Rooney. And but take them out the equation. I'm looking at them and thinking, what have we both here?
Yeah.
And I have to say, the Dyche scenario is, I want to see them going back to blood, guts and thunder. I seen Burnley come a couple of weeks ago. I sat in the stands and I said to the fellow next to me, they had Wood up front, they played with two wingers, they played with two full-backs that overlapped. And they might be the best in the world, but I'll tell you what, it's a start. And I'm looking at us and I just see Absolutely. I mean, I don't know what Steve Walsh does. Does he just buy number 10s every Wednesday? I don't know. There's no mention of him in the club announcements. It's just a mess, and I think we need to go back to the basics of just making Goodison Park a volatile place.
And as Bob was saying that, would you then have Sean Dyche, who talked about Burnley coming over there, but we've been discussing before we come on the air, who would you have? And I haven't got an absolute Scooby-Doo.
Thing about Dyche and Eddie Howe is, and Aldo will probably answer this, how good can you be with no money? And we've had that with David Moyes at Everton when he progressed to United, it fell flat. But what I'm saying is, they can only do what they can do. And, you know, it might be a different scenario where Dyche's playing the type of football that he plays because he's only got that sort of money and that sort of budget. Now, I think to go down the foreign route at this moment in time could be disastrous.
Fair call, isn't it?
It is.
Well, I tell you what, let's bring somebody else in. Jimmy's on the line in West Derby. Hiya, Jimmy. You're a Blue as well.
Yeah, hiya, lads. How you doing?
Hello, Jim. Hi, Jimmy.
Would you go foreign?
No. No, definitely not.
So who would you go for then?
To be honest, Sharpie, I'm a bit like you. I just don't know. I'd probably let Unsworth and bring Joe Royal in and Duncan. Have like an old boot room, like the Liverpool boot room, and get them just getting the place kickstarted again. See how it is by January. And, you know, just let it go. We're not going to do nothing now, are we?
I think it's going to be really difficult. Go on.
The point I was going to make, how big an issue do you reckon it was that Steve Walsh was in Koeman's downfall? Because he never had them last year, and Koeman was going on his way. It was half decent. We looked as if we were going in the right direction. And he brings Steve Walsh in. And from what I heard behind the scenes, they didn't have the best of times for each other. You know, you'd have Ken Wright bringing Rooney back, Fantasy Island stuff. You'd have Steve Walsh bringing players in that Koeman didn't want. It should always be down to the manager, because in his head, he knows the style of play he wants and the players he wants to fit that situation. And you've got another man buying players for you. It's not going to work, is it?
Yeah, good point. We've talked about it on the show before about, you know, listen, if I'm the manager, I want the players that I want kind of thing. But listen, all I would say is they'd come to that agreement. I don't know how he's done it, whether they discussed it and said, this is the way we're going forward, we're going to have a director of football. Are you up for this? Are you happy with this? And he seemed to be happy because he wanted to be called coach. And that's all he wanted to do was to coach the players. You know, it was, you go and get the players, I'll coach them.
Well, that's how it works on the continent, doesn't it?
The manager should always get the players.
He should do that. Listen, Jimmy, that's what we would say. But nowadays, it has changed, whereas there's directors of football and everything else. I'm the same as you. If I'm manager and I want a player, I go and see the player. And I'll watch the player three or four, five, six times.
I agree with you,
So,
yesterday was just terrible.
All right, Bobby's coming back in.
Sorry. If you were interviewed for that job tomorrow, Graham, as Jurgen Klopp was with Camoli at Anfield, would you take a job with someone knowing that they're going to buy the players and the damage is done previously?
No, I said that before. No. And I've said I'm not sure if for me the model works, you know, for any football club. But listen, this is the way they want to go down the road. And this is the way they see the way ahead. But for me, if I was a manager, I would like to think that I have the decision on who I'm buying into the football club. Yeah. You know, who that I can say, well, okay, I'll tell you what, he'll be ready in a year, or he'll be ready in 18 months, or he'll be ready in 6 months, we'll get him in the reserves or whatever kind of thing. I would like to be able to make that decision, you know, for me. I know football managers now, it's vast what they have to do and the expectation level of what they do and all that. But for me, if I'm a manager, I want to know who I'm bringing in.
Well, you know, you're showing a lot of confidence in a person who can cost you the job. That's where I look at it. You know, you must know. You must say to whoever's that, you know, we're looking for that position. You bring me the players that you've seen worldwide and I'll sift through them. That's the one. But I'll be like you. I want to go and see him myself.
Yeah.
You know, you see the videos, but you want to go and see him yourself. No, but does that happen now?
But we talk about that within that management structure. But Bill Kenwright is the chairman of the football club. But it appears now that there's somebody else who's pulling the strings. There's a board of directors there and a chief exec as well. Is there not potentially actually division there? There's no structure within the football side of things. What about the business side of things?
No, I think that they've got the people in the board now. So I think the decision is obviously inevitably it'll be with the chairman who made the decision. But I think they would have talked about it and said, this ain't working. You know, what do you think? And they would all have had a say in it kind of thing. And they would, I don't know if it's still the same as it used to go to a vote or whatever kind of thing. But I think they would have had a say in it and said, listen, this is the way the football club is this moment in time. Are we happy with it? Do we see us coming out of this? And they've made the decision. And
well,
I think,
don't you think, Graham, that every Everton fan who rings this station tonight would have realised in October when he bought five number 10s?
Yeah.
Surely for any business model, if the wife's coming back with the same wallpaper every week, you're going to say you're buying the same wallpaper there, love.
Yeah. Well, listen, what happens then is he'll say, listen, that's down to you. You're there. You amass the squad that you want. Like, Bill Kenrick's never going to tell Ronald Koeman, you know, what he thinks of some player and say, well, don't get him because I think he can't do this.
But surely there's a committee that says you don't need four left-backs.
Well, no, I don't think that has got to be the discussion between the director of football and the manager. You know, the football side is left to them. You know, they bring in who they want to bring in. You know, the board will back them in financial kind of thing, but when it comes to actually choosing a player, the board of directors don't have any say in that.
Bobby, Jimmy, thanks for your calls, pal. Really appreciate it. 0151 472 0967. Everton have sacked Ronald Koeman today, but don't forget Liverpool played as well this weekend.
Did we play?
Legends with
no, you did.
Allegedly.
On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Yeah, it's 10 to 7. Ronald Koeman sacked by Everton Football Club today. Where do the Blues go next? Get on board with that one. Where did it all go wrong and where does this leave Everton's season? Sharpie, they have sacked him before the Chelsea game. Before the Chelsea game, where Everton potentially could have been knocked out of a cup competition. Is that telling that people want to rescue this season? That this season was in danger of being a write-off?
Mike, just what I said to you before, I think it goes deeper than that. I think it's the way they're playing. Sometimes you can be unlucky and you can lose games and you think, we didn't deserve that. And you have a run of luck, which is really bad. And you think, oh, but we're playing well, it'll turn for us. But the worrying thing is, you couldn't see it turning. You couldn't see what he could do. To me, and I'm not saying that, but for me, and we've talked about it before, changing the team, instead of having a settled team doesn't help. Changing systems week in, week out doesn't help. But if I'm honest with you, I couldn't see anything changing. I couldn't see anything in the team, whether it be system, shape.
Such a lack of belief, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's not just... It's a lack of... How are we playing? You know, just how are we meant to play? Usually it was like, okay, get the ball wide, get the ball in the box, or play through. Yeah. With Liverpool played quick and they were quick. We didn't have a pattern of play. I couldn't tell you what a pattern play. Well, I could do Pickford to volley it left footed diagonally to the right hand side, where Calvert-Lewin flicks the ball on and tries to chase his own flick. Mm. That's what we were doing, and that was basically what we had. And you're thinking, well, that ain't working. Can we change it? How can we change it? We can't really change it because of the personnel we've got. And it goes back to the thing, and I keep seeing it time and time again. The thing that's hung him out to dry is for the striker thing for me. You know, for me, that's crazy. If you're going into a season, which is an important season for you, without a recognised top drawer centre forward, you were always going to struggle.
But if he went to the chairman and went, chairman, you've not got me a striker, would Bill Kenwright not say, you've got one of the best strikers in the history of the Premier League who's just come back to the football club? Was there an over-romanticism around that Wayne Rooney deal?
Well, I think you've got to look at that and think, well, listen, Wayne is at the other end of his career now, where he's been and it's saying his career's coming to an end eventually kind of thing. He's still got a few years left. His goal again Saturday was brilliant, or Sunday was brilliant. Yeah. So he's still got a lot to offer. But if you're losing somebody of the type and the ilk of what you had in Lukaku, listen, I'm not saying they're 10 a penny and you'll find one, but you signed the boy who's now he's loaned out to in Belgium, Onyekuru or something kind of thing. I don't know what the situation is with him. Obviously, it was a work permit. You couldn't get him in. So that might have been one that he's thinking in the future. But it was whatever kind of thing. So that might have been one, but to not start the season with one was a big, big blow for him. And I think that's where it's went wrong. If you haven't got somebody to score goals for you, and like a Lukaku in the Premier League, you're going to go near the bottom rather than the top.
But there's no balance in the transfer structure with the type of players. You know, if you go through the middle, you go to Spain, you go your keeper, your centre-half, centre, and your striker. You know, you don't all of a sudden get players that do the same thing. There's just something wrong with that. Something, I don't know whether it's, you know, miscommunication somewhere, but it just doesn't go right. It's not professional. What happened, you know? Who's in charge now temporarily for the Chelsea game? Have they made
David
anyone?
Okay.
I got some news, by the way. Liverpool played this weekend as well, Aldo. That's what we're going to talk about.
Well, you said
now.
They played, but that's debatable.
Tony's in Wavertree. Hiya, Tony Powell. You're on with Sharpie and Aldo.
All right, John.
Hello, Tony.
Where should I start, Amy?
You shouldn't have phoned up in the first place, so I was enjoying all this episode. I'm only messing, mate. No, it was pretty dreadful, mate, wasn't it?
I just can't remember how bad defence you had. I mean, I remember Ruddock and Julian Dix, but I think they were better than what we've got at the minute. That's how bad it's got.
I think when you look at the season, away from home, we've let in 15 goals in 5 games, 5 at City, 4 yesterday and 3 at Watford. Now, that tells you where we are at the moment defensively. And we all know, we're not stupid. We watch, you know, people are scared at Anfield to come out and test our defence. That's why we've only conceded 1 at Anfield. You know, perhaps if Man United had a bit more about them, they might have come and beat us. You know, if they come at us, because we are susceptible. We all know defensively we're liable. And yesterday we were liable for all their goals. We gifted them 4 goals. 4 goals, give them away. Even our goal, we had to work hard for, which we all we do. We don't get goals gifted to us. You know, we had to work hard for our goals. But 2 a penny goals against us. It's been like that for a while, Tony, hasn't it?
It has, John. And it's all right having all these fantastic forward players. You're going to get your goals for them. I'm looking at Argentina's team on the same sort of thing. You've got Messi, you know, best player in the world. Higuain, probably one of the best in Serie A. Dybala, Aguero, Di Maria. But they struggle to qualify for the World Cup. His defence is rubbish. And it just shows you can have all the best players in the world up front, but if you haven't got a good goalie in a back four, you'll struggle, and you always will at any level. So it's going to cost Klopp his job, this, John, because I'm just looking at the stats there. He's got 13 points from 9 games. Rodgers got sacked for that. So if Huddersfield beats us next week, he's in a worse position. So I don't think he's going to keep his job. I mean, what do you think?
That's interesting. I wouldn't know about that, but you know, it's you're talking about, you know, mismanagement. What happened to the centre half? I think for whatever reason we should have had a plan B. If you didn't get Van Dijk, then we should have got someone. You know, I don't know whoever, but you should always have a different plan if you can't get one player to get another one. And we didn't do it, you know. And I actually think we need 2 centre halves. I've said that for the last few months. With Lovren now, I don't know. I would certainly play Gomez. I'd give him a go now. I think you've got to give the lad a go. He's tried Clavin, doesn't work that well. And he's just got to give that lad a go, you know, until we can actually go out and get, you know, a leader. The back four, they look after their own game. Do you have a look at the back four? And there's the communication between them. It's not good at all. And the keeper, it's not great. You know, when you used to have Jamie Carragher or Sammy Hippie in there, you'd see them pointing and telling the full-backs to pull in and keep a solid back four. You get none of that now. They don't talk to each other. They're just focused on their own game, doing their own thing for their own game. And it's a problem. And the way we play away from home, it is like we play at Anfield. You know, we're wide open. The 2 full-backs are pushed up. Even when one full-back is going down, say Moreno's going round at the left. For me, the other fullback shouldn't be on the edge of the box. He should be tucked in and having 3 at the back. You know, you see the way we let goals in, we're exposing ourselves. Jordan Henderson in front, you know, whether he's the man to do the job, you know, he's a really, really good player. Is he a defensive quality? And I think that's where we leave ourselves exposed far too many times. And the mistakes we make, you know, Matip, like that was like a Tosha Keegan header. He headed it down in the Pata Valley. We don't let the balls into them situations. Lovren, his momentum going towards the... Come on, you don't see that. I don't see me grandkids game on a Sunday morning. You know, some of the some of the things you say, you're going, what's it all about? You know what I mean? So, but the manager's got to do something about it now, because it's come to a top now. I think he really knows now something that, and we've been talking about this for over a year and a half now, haven't we?
Was that the moment, Tony, when he hooked Lovren after 30 minutes? That's the moment where Klopp maybe almost admits that it's not good enough. It's not good enough, and he's got to change it.
Of course, but he's known that before, so why hasn't he addressed it yet? He must be lads in the under-23s better than him. It all stems with the goalie for me. They've never, ever been confident with that goalie behind them, not once. He makes too many mistakes. His kicking's awful. Karius is just the same. They're both good shot stoppers. I'd put Danny Ward in and give him a chance. The couple of games he's played, he's looked solid to me. You know, he can come out and get across. That's all you want.
I actually think Ward, at the present moment, he's in front of Karius, me personally. You know, so, you know, if anyone really was to go into the Mignolet, I'm with you there, Tony. I think he'd be the one.
All right, Tony. Tony, thanks for the call, pal.
Cheers, Tony.
Appreciate that. I mean, the mistakes, although at the weekend, I mean, were laughable, if it wasn't such a serious thing for so many people. Lovren first goal, way off the pace, watches the ball go over his head, stops running, looks to the linesman to bail him out. Gomez incorrectly plays himself, plays the attacker onside. Mignolet comes flying out, does absolutely nothing about it.
I went out and had a few pints and watched it with my son and my mates in Walton yesterday. You know, the Evertonians were in there, they were down in the dumps. You know, Liverpoolians suicidal. Liverpoolians behind me were laughing. They were laughing when we conceded the second goal, because it's laughable. You know, and I looked at him, I thought, I couldn't laugh. But you've got to see the reason why they were laughing. I thought they were Evertonians, but they were Liverpoolians.
It's like a caricature of their own performance.
It's somebody, you know, and that's what it's come to. The defending, I'm sorry, but it's laughable at times.
We'll take some more calls. Red and Blue, 0151 472 0967. Get on board as well with social media. Hashtag Radio City Legends.
Radio City Talk.
The Legends with 188bet. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Please gamble responsibly.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
7:05, been a really busy show so far. So much to talk about from a Liverpool and Everton point of view. My name's Mick Coyle and it's the Radio City Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. So Ronald Koeman sacked by Everton. We've also been talking about Liverpool's defensive frailties as well. Omar Niasse might finally get a locker, Sharpie. Hey, after all that, Ronald will have a locker that he could offer up now to good old
Omar. Well, he has. He's come in and, listen, he came on yesterday as well and he scored a goal. All credit to him. You know what you're going to get from him. He runs about and makes himself a pest. But listen, he could be thankful for his goals. You just never know how it's going to turn. Listen, he's totally bombed out at the beginning of the season, not got a locker. Then all of a sudden, the manager's off. 8 games into the season, he's got another opportunity to whoever the manager may be, you know, to get a game and score some more goals.
Why is Ryan Giggs talking about the Everton job, do you think? What? Ryan Giggs has been talking to Sky Sports. Says he'd be open to Everton or Leicester.
What gives him the right to think he could be a candidate when he's... It's Everton, it's a big club. It's not freaking Salford. You know what I mean? No, it's a big... What's he throwing his name in that? Yeah. He's not got a... I can't believe why he's even thought of even throwing himself in that.
Why would he... No disrespect here. Why would Everton give the job to him?
What credentials has he got? Hey, he was a great player. Does that make him a great manager? Doesn't automatically make you a great manager. You know, you've got to do your time. Yeah. Start off with Oldham. Oldham need a manager. That's where he should start. And then he might be able to prove a point by doing it that way. We've had to do it that way. What makes him any different?
I was speaking to Kevin Ratcliffe before, Sharpie, and he said, you need somebody who understands how big a football club Everton are. And I think people within who know Everton think like that. But there will be a lot of people, maybe Ronald Koeman included, who actually think, well, maybe Everton aren't the biggest football club in the world. Maybe they will be a stepping stone. Because if you want to go to a really big football club, chances are you're looking at Man City, you're looking at Man United, you're looking at Chelsea, you're looking at Arsenal, you're looking at Liverpool, you're looking at Spurs. You know, but I think you're that, not I think looking at was, a team in the relegation no, zone. But I think that can't was even cope in the Europa League.
I think that was one of Ronald Koeman's problems. He didn't get Everton. He didn't get it. And we tried to say to him, and we met him, kind of thing, you know, about the punters and how, you know,
it's a family club.
Yeah, about how passionate they are, and you know, they're there and they're bubbling under, and they want to be at the next level and Champions League and all that kind of thing. But I just don't know. I think first season, yeah, decent. Second season, Martinez was different. Martinez bought into the club and bought into the culture and swatted up a bit's history and all that. I'm not sure if this Ronald had the same affinity, if you like, with the football club as what Martinez had. And Evertonians want one of their own, if you like. You know, want somebody who shows the same passion and drive and commitment. I'm not saying Ronald lacked that, but not in the way that Evertonians like to see it. And I think that was his problem as well. That's why I don't think, you know, whilst everybody would give him as much a chance as they possibly could, I think some of his press reports and things he said and social media didn't help him in the eyes of supporters as well.
But people thought that he was trying to build a bridge to his next job at Everton. But if Koeman was building a bridge there, it's not the sort of bridge I'd drive over. Because you think, well, what reputation has he built there from Everton Football Club? Well, a man you can't trust to spend large amounts of money.
Snakes and ladders. He's gone down the snake, hasn't he? You know what I mean? Whereas he went up the ladder at Southampton. And all of some people at Everton were scared in case Barcelona tapped him up, weren't you? When you're thinking about it. Because he did do a good job last year. But it all comes down to spending spree. He's got it massively wrong there, and maybe he's lost the players because it looks like they have no belief in him or his principles or whatever he's doing when he's seen him play. Because it wasn't the Everton side that I'm used to seeing.
01514720967. If you're red or blue, get on board tonight. 01514720967. It's Radio City Legends with 188 Bet. My name's Mick Coyle. Shappy, what's gonna happen next? Are you going to pull somebody in from left field? People talk about Sean Dyche and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Is Marco Silva an option? Is Wagner at Huddersfield an option? Is there somebody, you know, who's out in Europe in the German league? Thomas Tuchel's being talked about.
Listen,
that
is now up to the board to decide and decide which way they want to go. You mentioned those names, whether they look the same way and feel the same way. I honestly don't know. Some people would say give David Unsworth a job, but just as Ryan Giggs, although Unsworth's got a little bit more experience working with the younger ones, I don't know he's got the experience to be top man at this moment in time. You know, people say Duncan Ferguson, but I think, again, they would have to go out and manage somewhere else before you could come and manage, you know, a club like that. Yeah. People say Eddie Howe, Bournemouth are second bottom of the league. You know, so why go for Eddie Howe? And I know people say, well, he doesn't get any money and everything, that's different, blah, blah, blah. Not necessarily going to work. So it is going to be a really, really tough decision.
I'm going to ask you in a few moments, which of the current Everton squad would a new manager go, yeah, happy with him? Oh. So start making some notes.
Bilic looks like he could be on the...
He can organise a team, can't he?
He's an ex-player. He's on the verge of going himself now, isn't he? Mm.
Let's get Paul the Red on the line. Paul, you're on with Aldo and Sharpie.
All right, Graeme. All right, John.
Hi, Paul. Hello, Paul.
Yeah, I wanted to ask John. John, you know what we're going on about the defence on Sunday?
Yeah.
What about the midfield?
It wasn't good, was it?
I don't think the likes of Jordan Henderson and Emre Can were up there.
I actually thought the three midfield players didn't have good games yesterday. You know, which doesn't help the defence, but they were calamitous defence. But you look, out of all the squad, you're only looking, you know, Salah. Other than him, you're looking, you know, really done well. So Chamberlain had a go when he come on. Moreno done all right for himself. But there wasn't an awful lot you could say. But, you know, you have to say, in midfield, they were out Dembele and Wanyama, they were out without them. And the lads who played in there ran the show, didn't he? When they had to run the show, you know, they ran the show.
Yeah, I thought we made Tottenham look good sometimes.
Yeah.
Against Maribor last week, it was the first game I've seen the whole of the midfield over the halfway line and attacking. I know they weren't.
Yeah.
Up, like a great team. Mm-hmm. But it's the first. I mean, Jordan Henderson, to me, runs round in circles. And he's not creating nothing at all. I know we've done the pass on Sunday, but besides that, I don't think he's good enough.
Great pass, though, to be fair, wasn't it? Great pass.
It's a really good goal.
It's always a one-off with him, though, isn't it?
See, Jordan's not... For that position, I think the manager likes him because we like playing free-flowing football. So he's like a conductor. He swivels the ball and switches the play an awful lot. But defensively, you know, it's not the strongest part of his game that we know. But he's influential because it's the way we play. It goes through him. If does that make sense? You know, that's
the reason.
But you know, ideally, you would want Jordan. I'd want Jordan probably further up the park and someone else sitting there who's got, you know, defensive stature, if you like, you know, who knows how to sit and hold in front of the back two or when it's the back four. He does try to do it. He does it okay at times, to be fair to him, but I think he'd do more damage as one of the lads further up forward, you know.
I mean, he had a good game in the Arsenal game, but that's because everyone was going forward again.
Mm-hmm. Was part of the problem, Paul, Emre Can, you talk about midfielders going forward. You know, when he was tracking back against Sons and Allies. He even got booked, didn't he? Because he couldn't match him for pace. So those three players are too similar.
They had the pace on us in midfield. You know, once they got past it, looks like our midfielders had parachutes on the backside. You know, they couldn't get in. They were getting away from them, you know, and that's where we had a lot of problems from. And they were hitting us on the break a lot of times. They were just hitting us, on, you know, on the counter attack, and it worked a treat for them.
Yeah, I mean, they just seemed to be slow to me.
Yeah, no, and in midfield they were sharper. They probably wanted it a little bit more than us as well.
All right, Paul. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That's Paul in Highton, 01514720967. By the way, on our at Radio City Talk Twitter feed, you can get loads of the interviews we've been doing today. So Kevin Ratcliffe, he says, my biggest problem was that he always called us Everton. He never called us.
That's what I said. People pick up on that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, as I said, I didn't think he endeared himself to the fans when he had done interviews. And I think a lot of people picked up on that. Listen, he was straightforward. We talked about it before, how he dealt with players. He was brutally honest with players. Some people can take that, some people can't. I don't think there's any harm in it, certain things, but different methods. The only thing I would say as a player, and I've said it all along, you wanted to be treated like an adult. You know, you wanted to be treated like an adult. Listen, a lot of those players are in their late 20s, early 30s. They don't need the big stick. You know, they need, you know, maybe the arm around the shoulder and everything else kind of thing. And I'm not sure if Ronald was that type. You know, I think Roberto Martinez was, but he had his faults as well. But I just think that with the Dutch way and everything else, sometimes it's a little bit in your face. And as I said, some people can deal with it. I think there's all things, but it boils down to results on the pitch. And the results on the pitch weren't good enough. And even so, It didn't look like changing. So I think they had to make the changes when they have done.
Do you think Everton will think, obviously Ronald Koeman isn't good enough for us, but do you think Ronald Koeman leaves Everton Football Club thinking, you weren't good enough for me? Like he works at a much higher level.
Well, I don't think you can say that. He was at Valencia. You know, he's been a player, you know, and been a really good player. But no, I don't think if you look at his managerial record, I think he can say that. You know, I think you look and say, well, Ronald, when you were at Everton, you can't say that you weren't backed in terms of money. Mm. You know, so no, he can't have anything there. He has quite rightly said, and he said it after the game yesterday, give him time, he could have turned things around. We'll never know that now. But from what I'm seeing, walking away from Everton, it was a good season, finishing seventh. Second season didn't perform. Was it too quick? Only time will tell. But I don't think he can walk away and say Everton weren't good for him. I think Everton backed him in everything that he wanted to do. You know, behind the scenes as well. You know, the club are very supportive of him. And it hasn't worked out. Sometimes it doesn't do that. But certainly can't have any qualms with Everton.
Have you got your list of players now? List of players signed by Ronald Koeman, and whoever the new manager is going to go into Everton Football Club and go, right, let's have a look at what we've got here. Let's look at what we're working with, and he's going to make a decision on the types of players that Ronald Koeman and Steve Walsh have signed between them.
No, I think I remember having a meeting with him early on, and when he first came over, and we talked about it. And I thought at the time, we're talking about the squad, we were lopsided. We went, it wasn't a balanced squad. We had too many central midfield players. We had too many wide players. As he walks away, I think it's the same. It's, but in different positions, we're lopsided as well. We talked before about the number 10s, having too many number 10s, not enough cover at left-back for Leighton Baines. So I think he walks away with the club in the same position as it was when he joined. You know, it was lopsided in terms of squad depth and quality. I think there's probably more quality in here in terms of what he's signed and the prices he signed. The goalkeeper, Keane, Sigurdsson, I told him before, Rooney. But there's question marks over a new manager coming in and where does Klaassen fit into the equation. But listen, all I'm saying is a lot of these players might be, don't know, might be thinking, I'm glad he's gone. Mm. Oh, now I can settle down and show what I can do. But we've got to see more from Klaassen. We've got to see more from Ramirez and players along that like that. But a lot of those players now will look at it and think, I've got a chance here again. Look at the guard that's been thrown out. Some lads have been thrown out in loan. Kind of thing. Now it's a new chance. It's a new chapter for them.
What about Ross Barkley?
Ross, depending what, he's still recovering from his hamstring injury, but it all depends what Ross wants to do. You know, the next manager could come in and Ross could take an instant shine to him and say, right, this is where I want to play my football, or his head's been already turned by whoever. So we'll just have to wait and see that. But I said all along that, you know, for Ross and all the criticism he got, if you said to any Evertonian what they witnessed this season with Ross Barkley get into that side that Ronald Koeman had all day long, and he has got his faults, a shadow of doubt, but he would have been head and shoulders above what was on there. So that just shows you how football can change. Listen, he might say, well, okay, let's wait and see who the new manager is. I quite fancy the like of that.
The situation Everton are in, it's, you know, you just have to use him, don't you? Mm-hmm. You've got to get him fit and get him on the pitch. Yeah. That's the way it is, you know. And you know, he might breed confidence. He might play well, breed confidence from the other players. Mm-hmm. Might get a bit of balance back. Mm-hmm. If he goes for a free at the end of the season, so be it. You've just got to get whatever you can out to play, you know.
But straight away, a new manager's going to go, I'll need another right back, probably another centre-half.
January will come up and they'll say, well, where do you want to strengthen? Yeah. You know, and I think it's playing for everybody. We need cover at left back. You probably, one of the callers said that, you know, Leighton Baines and Jags and Williams aren't getting any younger. You know, so you've got to look and say, well, okay, this is, whoa, the squad is a little bit overbalanced on this side. Let's try and address the balance. Listen, who knows who the manager will be? Who knows who new players are going to be? Who knows who the new signs are going to be? But at this present time, I think the change was probably right.
810 on Twitter, Mickey was always a mercenary, just Everton to further his own ambitions. He had no intention of staying and certainly did not love the club. Mark on who should be the next manager, Mick, give it to Unsworth to see how it goes. It's not like we are cut adrift at the bottom. Couple of wins and we will be back in business. Mm.
That's true.
Well, only 5 points behind Liverpool, something like that, whatever it is. As you say, 2 or 3 wins on the bounce, you know, you escalate right up to the top 6 or 7. Mm.
Get on board 01514720967 if you want to have your say in all matters red and blue. We've got to talk about Dejan Lovren a little bit more. People talking about Matip as well, and maybe Lovren is the best thing that's ever happened to him because you stop questioning maybe what he's doing wrong in a game. I wonder if Jurgen Klopp might look at that defence and just go, right, wholesale, everything needs to change there. Or does he make changes when it comes to Alexander-Arnold steps into the first team? That he goes with Joe Gomez and goes, well, I'm not going to get anything different from you, or I'm going to get an improvement from you than what I'm getting there already.
Matip's not, he had an off game yesterday, you know, but how many did? I think Matip's okay. He just needs someone who's solid alongside him. But you're looking at, I've said it for a while, we need 2 centre-halves, Liverpool. You know, I'll just say we need 2 lads who can defend. Who know how to defend? I'll just throw one at you. I'm not sure saying that you should come to Liverpool. Shane Duffy. It does what it says on the tin. Yeah. Defend, heads the ball out, gets 30 yards with his headers, boots it clear when he has to do it. He can pass it when they're the type of defenders we need. Lads who can actually play centre half and know how to defend. And you see Burnley. You see some of these teams that are just average teams. They've got lads. Bang average to all the top teams. But can they defend? Too right, they can.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Paul, who's a blue in McGull. Hiya, Paul. You're on with Sharpie and Aldo.
Evening, boys. You're right.
Hi, Paul.
Hiya, Paul.
Sharpie, I'm not going to start slagging Koeman because it just didn't work out, did it? You know what I mean? You just got to put it down to that now. Yeah. But the one thing I will say is you hit the nail on the head before. I think there's a lot of players there who are now going to turn around and go, OK, now I'll get my chance and I'll knuckle down and have a go, because they just looked as... We just looked too saturated of, like, confidence, you know what I mean? And have a little go and things like that.
Yeah.
You tell me that Klassen, Sigurdsson are duds. They're not. Mm. They just haven't gelled. So hopefully whoever you bring in. But the main thing on that is, I think we got to take stock. I don't think we just jump in thinking who's going to be the first one. Oh, yeah, we'll have him.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because you've got to trust in Unzi, his record there. Let him do the caretaker role with Joe, like, for a little bit, and Duncan, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Paul, it's one for you and Sharpie here now. Like, Unzi's he's gone in now. All of a sudden, you see a reaction, I'm sure, that at Chelsea. What team would yourself and Graham put out on Wednesday, you know, knowing that you want a proper dogged performance to get things back on track? Who, between you, who would you play from the goalkeeper? Obviously, the goalkeeper.
The goalkeeper would play,
Mason, right back.
Would you see? I think he struggles here, Paul. I think I know John Joe wasn't great and thing, but I just, it all depends what he's going to play, what Unzi's going to play. I think Unzi will go old school, and I wouldn't be surprised if he goes 4-5-1 just to try and get a result and bed in. Who that is personnel wise, I think he'll go with his strongest team.
Yeah,
and I don't think he's one of those who'll go, oh, I've got the game Sunday at Leicester. I think he'll just say, yeah,
so we go Baines, Keane,
Jags, I think.
Right back.
Paul says Mason Holgate, possibly.
Okay. I agree with John. John Joe's a shout, but just the fact he looked a bit like, not panicky, you know what I mean? He looked a bit in awe, didn't he, the other day? And I won't slide the kid for that, because, you know what I mean, he's just getting minutes under his belt. But no disrespect, he's better than Coco all day long. And he can defend Mason, you know what I mean? You give him that against the City winger or whatever. Yeah. Midfield, Sharpie, you got to stay with Sigurdsson, haven't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think, listen, he was disappointing with the weekend again, but, you know, everybody knows the quality he's got. Okay, he hasn't shown it as such, but, you know, I think you've still got to go with him. Listen, for me, and I've said it all along, I'm not his agent.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not his agent.
Yeah, I think you'll play him. I
would go with Morales.
And Lukman.
And Lukman wide.
Yeah.
And give us a threat.
Yeah, that's what I'd call that.
Lukman, even when he come on the other day, right? Yeah. I mean, people can say he was run down blind alleys. Mm. But I'll tell you what, he was wanting to get back to front as quick as possible.
Yeah, isn't he?
And our problem, I don't know, I was shouting at the telly, mate, it's doing me as in, because we just drop too deep all the time. And that's why our midfield get bypassed in the centre midfield so easy. If we just step up 10 yards, it's a different game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the defenders, I think they're struggling, Paul, and they're thinking lack of pace, and, you know, they're not the quickest, and they don't want to have acres of speed. No, that's why Jordan Pickford sweeps up. Of course it is, but I just think they're a little bit wary, you know, of giving themselves, you know, too high a line. They're going to get caught over the top. But listen, all I'll say is Unji's coming in. You know, obviously next two games, you know, are great for him, but I would just like to think that we've got somebody in mind.
All right, Paul, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Aldo, I thought you got away very lightly tonight.
Again?
To be fair, I did. I did. The fact that Liverpool got beat 4-1 any other given day, I'd got mullered, wouldn't I?
Stuff. It's the Radio City Legends back Thursday on Radio City, Radio City Talk.
Radio City Talk.
The Legends with 188 bets. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Please gamble responsibly.